On today's episode of It's Always Something in Philadelphia, playoff basketball has finally arrived. Alec and I are going to give you our series preview for the series between the Wizards and Sixers coming up this Sunday. We're going to give you some storylines we're looking for, some key matchups, as well as a few other things as we await game one of the Eastern Conference series between the Sixers and the Wizards. But first, today's episode is brought to you by Vigit. Download the Vigit app. It is the first risk-free sports betting app for bettors all over the world. Get access to all sorts of great information about where the line is moving, where the public is betting, all sorts of fun stuff. You bet Vigit coins, you win real prizes, and you can use our promo code when you sign up, promo code Philly, and you get 2,500 free Vigit coins. Interact with us on the Vigit app. Thank you to Vigit for presenting today's episode. And now, the intro music by Harry DeMarco. Welcome to another episode of It's Always Something in Philadelphia, the Sixers playoff edition. Along with Alec Liebsch, I am Kenny Adkins. And Alec, I know you are just as excited as I am to get this playoff kicked off. How are you feeling about the impending first round matchup?
I've been waiting so long to record this episode, so long to get out my thoughts about the Sixers, because this whole season we've been kind of waiting on, you know, how much can we actually take away from what's been happening this season? How much is real? Who were they playing? That was the most important part that we didn't find out until last night. And now we can finally get into everything.
Yeah, and, you know, we've talked about it before. This felt like one of those seasons where you were just kind of waiting out the end of the regular season to get into the playoffs, because that's really what matters. Before we start, we should acknowledge Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, both finalists for the Defensive Player of the Year and MVP awards, respectively. So shout out to them. Anyone who says the process didn't work, when you're looking at two young stars, both being finalists for probably the two most important individual awards in the entire league, and leading their team to a one seed, can, you know, just take a back seat, because you have no argument at that point.
It's really hard to argue against the process's success so far. I mean, it's honestly, it's just crazy talk at this point.
Well, you know, I mean, it was the only argument you can have is saying that it was just an insult to the game for them to purposely lose for a decade plus. So, once you get past those 10 years, you're fine. It worked out well. No, but congrats to Joel and Ben Simmons. Wouldn't it be great if they both won it? I don't think we've talked about it. I don't think Joel's going to get it, but I do think Ben deserves it. So we'll see how much of an impact the nerds in Utah have about their with their graphs and their PowerPoints and everything. But let's get into the Sixers team. The Sixers are playing the Washington Wizards. Game one is this Sunday, I believe at 1 p.m. It was interesting. The reward for the Sixers winning the one seed was they had to be the team that had to wait the longest to game plan for their opponent.
Yeah, I did find that to be a weird little quirk in the NBA's new play-in tournament format. But in general, it doesn't usually matter, especially in the East, the NBA's weaker half. I don't think it's really going to matter, especially for this matchup, but I can see how, for example, if in the West, the Utah Jazz have to wait on the Warriors or the Grizzlies to win their game, it's a much different game plan to plan for either Steph Curry or Ja Morant. So it's frustrating, but in the end, you get a week off and you are the best team in your conference. So there's really not much to complain about.
Yeah, there's also a large gap between the bottom teams in the West and the bottom teams in the East. So for the Sixers to have to wait for one of either the Pacers or the Wizards, it's not really making me shake in my boots over here, losing a day or so waiting to game plan for their whoever they end up facing in the first round. But it is the Washington Wizards. First time the Sixers have met the Wizards in the playoffs in 35 years. I thought that was pretty interesting. So it should be a fun one. And, you know, there are some good storylines to look into this as this series kicks off on Sunday. What is the first storyline you're going to be looking for? And, you know, why do you think it's going to play a role in the series? And are you excited to see whatever storyline you're talking about? What are you looking for?
The main one that everyone's going to talk about, like anybody who's ever watched a morsel of basketball before, is going to be Russell Westbrook versus Joel Embiid. This is the thing. I mean, the two hate each other, basically. I mean, Embiid tries to play it calm, cool, and collected about like how he doesn't understand how Russell Westbrook despises him this much. But basically, when the Thunder and Sixers were facing off several times in the past, especially during Embiid's rookie year, Embiid's first game of his career was against the Thunder. And then later that year, they played a triple overtime game against each other where Embiid and Westbrook got physical. Embiid dunked on him at one point, and it was a very that was a very fun play, career highlight of Embiid's. And at the end of the game, when the Thunder won, Russell Westbrook waved Embiid goodbye. There was another time where Embiid tried to block Westbrook, and it turned out being a foul because Westbrook pump faked, and it was too late for Embiid to like recover and not foul him, basically. And after the game, Westbrook was asked if like him and Embiid are cool, and Westbrook responded with a not safe for work comment. So basically the two sides, they're not very fond of each other. And I'm interested to see, I guess, A, if they get physical with each other at any point, which I assume, yes, it'll happen at some point, and B, how much schematically, like in the actual grand scheme of basketball, does it impact everything? Because like, I mean, you might see Embiid guard Russ at some point if the Sixers are like planning for him to not attack the rim at all. But like, I mean, Russ is not going to be guarding Embiid. That would be just irrational of Scott Brooks to do that. But just off the court, Russ versus Embiid is what we're all going to be looking at.
Yeah, I mean, that was the first storyline I have. Russell Westbrook is one of the most polarizing players in the entire NBA because of his style of play. And Joel Embiid is one of the most polarizing players because of his personality and his boisterousness. And, you know, you kind of lined up the history for them there. There is definitely going to be some confrontation between those two. And I think the series is better off for it. It's going to make for more like enthralling basketball games. There's going to be much more passion going on between the two sides. I mean, Russ is kind of a leader on that Wizards team, definitely him and Bradley Beal. So, you know, those guys are going to follow him, whatever it is he does. So seeing him and Embiid go at it is probably going to fire up the rest of their team. So that's definitely going to be something to watch. I have written down in my notes here, punch question mark. So I'll be waiting to see if there's a punch thrown between the two of them. You remember a couple years ago when Terry Rozier punched Embiid? That was funny. But yeah, Russ and Embiid is going to be fantastic. I can already see a highlight in which Embiid stuffs him at the rim or dunks all over him. But, you know, it's the way Russell Westbrook's playing. It's not unfair to say that he might get him back a couple times. So that is going to be a lot of fun to watch too. My other storyline I've been looking for, I have two more specific storylines. I'm looking to see if we get a Ben Simmons three attempt in this series. We know that he's been shooting more throughout the regular season, even hitting a few this year. We've never seen him shoot from the perimeter in the playoffs. So I anticipate a few of these games being pretty lopsided in the Sixers' favor, and maybe Ben Simmons letting it fly. Do you think there's any chance we see one from Benny?
I would say there's a good chance that he takes at least one. Whether he hits that, we'll see. But yeah, the Sixers are probably going to have at least one blowout, and that'll be the time for Simmons to, especially on with the national spotlight on him, that's definitely a great opportunity for him to let it fly.
Yeah, I can just imagine how Twitter is going to be if Ben Simmons just nails a three over Russell Westbrook or something like that. But yeah, that'll be fun to watch. What other storyline are you looking for?
Another one would be Simmons actually on the other end, which is who is he guarding initially, and how long does it take for Doc Rivers to say, okay, it's time for him to guard Beal? Because Bradley Beal is like the Wizards' best player, obviously, and he's the most important one that you have to watch out for because of his threat from literally any point over half court. You have to worry about him at all times. And Bradley Beal also torched the Sixers at one point this year for 60 points. Granted, that was in January, so a lot has changed since then among each of us individually and for the Sixers as a basketball team. So anything could perspire between now and then. But basically, I expect Simmons in the closing minutes to be on Beal if there are closing minutes. I don't know how many close games we're actually going to have here, but it's just how often is he going to guard Beal? How effective that is?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely something that's going to be worth looking into. I'm glad you mentioned that 60-point game from Beal. Ben Simmons was in COVID protocol for that game, if you can recall. So he didn't even play in that game. Danny Green was a primary defender for Bradley Beal. And we all know that Bradley Beal dropped 60 right on his head that night. I'm with you. I think they start Simmons elsewhere. I think they should probably start him on Russ. You know, Ben Simmons is big enough, fast enough, and strong enough to really deter Russell Westbrook's dribble drive capabilities. And everybody knows that you have to force Russ outside and settle for, with the jump shots. So putting Ben on Russ to start the game is a good way, I think, to stagnate their offense. I mean, that's a team that likes to play ISO ball. They're among the league leaders in isolation possessions. So if you can put Ben there for the majority of the game, just to slow the offense down, and then when you're closing it out, put him on Beal and just try to shut Beal down as much as possible, then I think that's probably the right way to go. And I think Beal, you know, we talked about a little bit with how they match up with the Nets. Beal is similar to the way we talk about Kevin Durant. And I'm not saying that Bradley Beal is on the same level as Kevin Durant, but it's almost like, you know, he's the type of guy that's going to get his regardless of who you have on him. So it makes sense to shut down another major key proponent of their offense. And that's Russell Westbrook, I think.
That's a good point about like just trying to contain Russell Westbrook and letting Beal get his. My matchup to like guard Russ initially, I guess go Tobias Harris because he's like a big body, and your goal is not necessarily to contain him on the perimeter because Westbrook can't shoot really. It would be to just make sure that he doesn't provide too much rim pressure, because one thing the Wizards were really good at this year was drawing fouls, and most of that comes from Westbrook, just like the same it was for the Sixers. With the Sixers were very good at drawing fouls. That was their lifeline of offense, and that comes from one man we know to be Joel Embiid. Same kind of concept, just don't let him foul too much. And I think that Simmons as a potential guy on Russ makes sense because he can also, while he's not guarding Russell Westbrook on the perimeter, can definitely be like a ball hawk on other guys and generate steals, generate transition possessions. That stuff all makes sense. So yeah, I think that's definitely, don't start out with Ben on Bradley Beal, let him kind of roam.
Agreed. Yeah. I we've seen Doc Rivers do that before. One, just to let him conserve energy in the early stages of the game. So he does have the juice left at the end of the game, the fourth quarter, to guard the top matchup. We've seen Doc Rivers do that before with leaving Ben kind of as a roamer because he's so long and he's so good at clogging up passing lanes. So I really think that would work out well as well as if they did put him right on Russ to start. The last storyline I'm looking for would be who's going to be the leading scorer of the series. So Bradley Beal, I believe, finished second in scoring, if I'm correct, in the entire NBA. Joel is right up there with him, although Joel didn't qualify with games played, which I think is kind of foolish. But I am interested to see which between the two of them gets the edge in scoring. If the Wizards are going to have to do anything, you know, make this series at all competitive, I think that they're going to need Bradley Beal to lead all players in scoring. But, you know, when you look at the way the Wizards match up with Embiid, I don't think there's any reason to believe he's not going to average 40 this series.
That's definitely feasible. Or there might be enough games where he actually doesn't have to completely dominate in the scorebook, in the box score, rather getting it around to shooters, and the Sixers offense kind of just flows more than we've seen it this year. We've seen it a few times where Seth Curry and Danny Green get hot, but mostly it's been Embiid being the offensive lifeline. So there's definitely a high probability of him getting 40 and 15 at least three times.
Yeah, and you know what? If it ends up where he only has to play 22 minutes a game this series, then so be it. I mean, that's also fine. Let Bradley Beal be the leading scorer for this series, this first round series that's ultimately going to be a loss for the Wizards. Do you have any other storylines you're looking for as we move forward to the rest of the stuff we have?
I mean, a more humorous one would be Dwight Howard. Just how many technical fouls does he accumulate this series? The rules that the NBA set up is that once you can get up to 7 technical fouls in the playoffs, it's 16 in the regular season, which Dwight did accumulate. That's why he had to miss the second to last game of the season against Orlando. If he gets an 8th technical or a 7th technical foul, he has to miss whatever the next postseason game is. He's not going to get 7 in the series, most likely, but he might get 2 in one game, which is it's very likely that he gets ejected for a game where something comes up where he's not playable. And I want to know what Doc Rivers does, because we've talked about the concerns of the backup center, and the Sixers are very aware of theirs, as we know from the Raptor series in 2019. So I just want to know, are they going to go with like Mike Scott at the 5? Are they going to try Ben Simmons? What after that? B-ball Paul? I would hope not. Although we love B-ball Paul here, would not like to see them in the playoffs. So I just want to know what they do if Dwight Howard's not the best option.
Yeah. I think it would probably make the most sense to go with the Ben Simmons small ball 5. They really don't have many capable centers. I mean, Thomas Bryant was lost to an Achilles injury or something earlier in the season. He's out for the season, so he's not going to be playing. He was their primary center, if I'm not mistaken. Right now, their big men are their main big men are Rui Hachimura and Robin Lopez. So, Rui's a fun player, and I like him offensively. He's not a fantastic defender, at least in my opinion. And then Robin Lopez is kind of just Robin Lopez. He would probably shut Ben Simmons down in the post, but you know Ben Simmons is fast enough and as a good enough distributor that he would still be able to be effective in that small ball 5 role. So it's definitely something to look at. But I think we're also overlooking Dwight and Russ as another possible point of contention. So we'll see what it's like when those guys butt heads.
Yeah. Daniel Gafford's another center to look at from the Wizards. He's just really energetic, and I believe he will be the starter for the Wizards. We'll see how much foul trouble him and Alex Len get in when guarding Embiid, and how much Robin Lopez has to play. Lopez will also be very annoying. His like awkward jump hook, it reminds me of Dario Saric's from back in the day, where it like you didn't know why it went in, but did. He does it very consistently, like pro. These centers, I would say, just like the rest of the Wizards team, from a Sixers fan perspective, they're just going to be annoying. Like, there are going to be games where the Sixers build up a big lead, especially their starters, and then the bench, as we've seen before, blows a big lead, and the Wizards are back in, and it's like, well, you know, I wanted to turn this off or at least be content watching the last 40 minutes, but I have to sit here, and it's stressful again.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we know them too well. We've been Sixers fans for a while now, so we – you know, we know that they are prone to making what should be simple games more stressful than they need to be. Then moving on to some of the matchups, we kind of explained the main ones for in the storyline talk. I'm interested to find out a little bit about your playoff rotation. Now, I know you wrote a piece this week. Go check it out on alwayssomethingpod.com. Alec went in depth on what the Sixers rotation is going to be likely for the playoffs. Maybe talk a little bit more about the initial matchups of the starters, and then also, you know, who you envision coming off the bench and in what role.
Yeah, so for the starters, I imagine that's not going to change. I don't see a reason to rock the boat. This starting lineup was really good. They played a lot of minutes together. Doc Rivers would not have done that for the entire season without a plan. The Sixers, their starting lineup played the second most minutes of any unit in the league behind the Suns starting lineup. So I don't see any reason why that would change now, especially against the 8-seed Wizards who had a losing record before the play-in tournament. They don't strike fear in his heart, I would imagine. And then off the bench, I would guess George Hill. You don't trade 3 second-round picks to Tony Bradley for him unless you expect him to be part of the playoff rotation. Shake Milton is definitely a valuable rotation guard. He will help. And I've seen him actually guard wings this season, so I think he'll definitely be helpful. He did guard Russell Westbrook kind of well this season. So I imagine
Russ was 0-for-6 when they were matched up against each other.
That's correct. I believe I saw that from NBC Sports Philadelphia. I forget which writer it was. I apologize.
But yeah, Shake Milton is going to be big too.
Yeah. We know that he can defend. It's just a matter of engagement for him. I think that's the case for a lot of Sixers, but that's a story for another day. I think the wing that's most likely to get minutes is Thibault. I just think that his defense in the playoffs plays right away because the playoffs are about exposing mismatches. They're about liabilities with the team. And I think that his defense is just going to stick and he'll at least be the equivalent of a relief pitcher where you can at least put him in for a few minutes and he can check somebody, most likely Beal or Westbrook, and you deal with whatever the other consequences are. And then Howard, because you can't just not play him. And other than that, maybe spot minutes for Tyrese Maxey, because he's a guard who can dribble and shoot, which revolutionary concept in Philly these days. Korkmaz, because he can shoot. He can provide a lot of offensive spark, potentially, in the right situation. And Mike Scott, because Doc Rivers irrationally likes him.
Yeah, I could do without the Mike Scott minutes. But yeah, I think you're pretty much right. The only thing I really want to hone in on is Tyrese Maxey. Now, the Wizards led the league in pace, and they were second in transition percentage or something like that. They're a team that really likes to play fast, get up and down the floor as fast as possible. And when you have a guy like Russell Westbrook, it makes sense because he's one of the faster players in the league. Tyrese Maxey fits that style of play really, really well. And so does Ben Simmons, but, they can't have Ben Simmons on the floor constantly. There's part of me that thinks we might see more Tyrese than we think going into the series. If the Sixers are kind of getting, run around out there and can't really keep up in transition, then Tyrese Maxey is the type of guy that can push the ball up the floor pretty quickly in those sans Ben Simmons minute. I would love to see a little bit more Tyrese play just because, I think we'll get to our official predictions later, but I think we're both pretty confident in the Sixers handling their business this series. It's always good to get your young guys playoff experience. And especially a guy who we view as having as important of a future in Philadelphia as Tyrese Maxey. So I'll be looking for him to get a little bit more minutes than we expect. And Matisse as well. I think there's a chance that we see him as part of a closing lineup. If the Sixers have a decent lead heading into the end of the fourth, there's a good chance in my eyes that he's just put out there to shut down Beal, Westbrook, just put them out there just to create havoc and really take the Wizards out of it. So aside from those guys, don't really expect to see much of Isaiah Joe or Paul Reed or Rajon Tucker, those guys. Those guys might be the victory cigars in a couple games if we do get those blowouts we're talking about. But, I think you're pretty spot on with the way you see the rotation going. It's just it's between a few different guys for spot minutes here and there.
I think it would be a really good indicator if Maxey gets a lot of minutes and Thibault. I think those are two really important bellwethers for how the series is going. I don't think you would throw Maxey into the situation unless you're confident that he's going to succeed, and transition would be one area where he's definitely a great fit, especially with Simmons. I think playing them both together for that situation is totally fine. I don't think you want to get in a transition game with these guys too much. I know anybody who's ever had a more old-fashioned coach for basketball would not like you to get in a running game with the opponent. That's always a thing that I feel like I've heard from any older coach. But you definitely don't want to get in a running game with the Wizards if you're the Sixers because the Sixers' transition defense has been a huge weakness the whole year, and it works to the Wizards' strength, especially now that the Wizards are a totally different team than they were 2 months ago because Scott Brooks figured out that putting shooters around Westbrook and Beal was a good idea. At the start of the year, opening night, they played the Sixers. They started Westbrook, Beal, Denny Avdia, the Wizards rookie who suffered a gruesome injury, which I don't recommend you look up. Isaac Bonga, a young guy who really wasn't that much of a shooter. And also, I forget if he got hurt or if he just fell out of the rotation. But either way, they replaced those guys with shooters for the most part. And it worked to the Wizards had a 0.5% chance to make the playoffs early in April. And they're here now. And I think that's because of a lot of adjustments that they made. So this is kind of a new team that we're dealing with. And I think the Sixers need to pick their battles carefully. And I mean that with the assumption that they are the far superior team.
Yeah. I I mean, absolutely. I don't the Wizards have been one of the hotter teams in basketball over the past month or so. But, you know, they are still the 8 seed for a reason. I mean, I remember when the season first kicked off, there was people talking about the Wizards being the worst team in the East. You know, Bradley Beal had like back-to-back 50-point games at one point, and they got blown out in both of them. They were just atrocious. But, you know, with that said, they are playing with a lot of fire right now. Russell Westbrook has had a really good season. Bradley Beal obviously has had a really good season. Now he is dealing with a hamstring injury that's been affecting him for the past few weeks. So it'd be interesting to see how much that hinders him in this series. But, I mean, they're going to play the Sixers tough at the very least. And it's going to be one of those series where you walk away from it with a few new least favorite players. I know this is gonna strengthen the disdain a lot of people in Philadelphia have for Russell Westbrook. Maybe people will give up on the Beal to Philly stuff because he's been a name for a while, but maybe if he just torches us the whole time, people are going to start to dislike him. It's going to be a fun series to watch. I definitely think that's going to be the case because they are teams that have fun styles of play and they are star driven. So that always makes for a good matchup. Your X factors for each respective team. Who is your X factor? I have a feeling I know what you're going to say. Who is your X factor for the Sixers in this matchup with the Wizards?
The general one that most people would say would be Ben Simmons. But for this series, I'm looking at Matisse Thybulle. I tweeted it the other day. But basically, Thybulle's three-point shooting, if he's making enough shots to where the defense has to at least give an iota of respect, he's going to play. He's going to play like 30-something minutes. If he's broke, like if he can't make a three the entire game, then he's not going to get that many minutes. And obviously him getting more minutes is really, really good for the Sixers because that means that him, Ben Simmons, and Joel Embiid can basically be absolutely dominant defensively. So that would be very helpful to the Sixers overall unit. And my Wizards X factor is probably Daniel Gafford. It depends because you could pick any of the Wizards centers. If any of them can not get fouled to kingdom come by Embiid, that would be very helpful to the Wizards overall, like offense and defense. Gafford especially because he's known as an energy big. A lot of people might not be aware of him. He came out of Arkansas 2 years ago, I'm going to say, and he was on the Chicago Bulls initially, and now he's on the Wizards. He's an energy big. So if he's available, the Wizards are way better off. But if he fouls out, like a lot of bigs do at the mercy of Embiid, then the Wizards are kind of stuck.
See, for me, I don't really think the Sixers need an X factor in this series. I think anytime Joel Embiid is on the floor, they are the far superior team. He's the best player in the series. And he's going to carry them to be significantly dominant over the Wizards for the whole series. But I do think there is some credence to the fact that a good two-way performance from Tobias Harris this series would be huge for the Sixers, primarily in just conserving their energy going into the second round. If you know, you mentioned the possibility of putting Tobias on Russell Westbrook to start the game because he's a bigger body. If he was able to handle that fine, you know, if he was able to guard Russell Westbrook successfully and limit Ben or Danny Green's or Joel having to switch out on and limit their time on him, that would be huge for the Sixers. You know, it saves Ben's energy for later in the game, like we're talking about switching him on to Beal. And it also doesn't, you know, tire them out heading into the next series. If he's able to take a lot of the onus on guarding, who probably is the – not the most difficult to defend, obviously, because that would be Bradley Beal, but probably the most tiring to defend just because Russell Westbrook is so strong and fast. If he's able to take most of that on for the Sixers team, I think that's going to be huge. And we've seen – we've seen a significant uptick in his defensive play this season. So I really don't think it's crazy to believe that he really could make a huge difference defensively for this team. And for the Wizards, I think their biggest X factor is how well Russell Westbrook shoots the ball. We know that he's, you know, a really good scorer at the rim, but he's never been a good jump shooter. He's never been good mid-range. He's never been good from beyond the perimeter. He's shooting 43.9% from the field this year and 31.5% from three. Like we talked about, the Sixers' defensive approach to Russ is going to be letting him get those shots. And, you know, that keeps him away from the rim. If he is hitting those shots, though, it's going to create a little bit of havoc for the Sixers defensively. They're going to have to change how they're guarding him. And that's going to open up the lanes a little bit more. That's going to open up him having a path to the rack. So for me, I think the biggest thing for the Wizards this series is how well Russ is able to shoot, how efficient he's able to play, because we know he's able to dish the ball around as well. So,
yeah, that's a good point about Westbrook getting his kind of if he can do that, which he's done a lot against a lot of teams, that's really opened up the Wizards offense. It's opened up every team he's ever played for, honestly. When he's able to get going, like it the offense really takes another leap. So that's a great point. And if Tobias is one of the guys who can contain him, then the Sixers are in excellent shape, really.
Yeah,
I personally don't think, and like one prediction I would have is I don't think Russ has that good of a series. I really don't. I think the Sixers have enough bodies to where they can contain him, but it's really something to watch. I would just predict, I don't think he's going to do that well. I think the Sixers have enough options really to contain a guy like that. Cause there are only a few ways that you really have to worry about guarding him, especially when you can think about it for 2 weeks, when you can game plan for it so many different ways. This is what the playoffs are all about. This is what Sixers fans would know this well with Ben Simmons, how he's been guarded. Russell Westbrook is going to get guarded a very similar way, I would imagine, by Doc Rivers. So I guess we can lead this into the predictions, but I don't think Russ has that good of a series, and Bradley Beal is going to have to go off multiple times for the Wizards to win.
So do you have a what is your official prediction? How many games are the Sixers going to beat the Wizards in?
Sixers in five. I think Bradley Beal gets 50 points at least once. Whether that's win or loss, we have yet to see. But I think the Wizards steal at least one, but that's probably it. I mean, they all their bigs are going to have a nightmare guarding Embiid. And the Sixers defense is good enough to contain everybody not named Bradley Beal. So I don't think this will be a very long one.
Yeah, no, I certainly agree with that. And to what you were saying about Russ, you know, like I said, he is an elite finisher at the rim. He's very strong when he can get through the lane and get to the rack, but he also has to worry about an elite rim protector in Joel Embiid, who is also one of the best defensive players in the entire NBA. I don't think he's going to have a good series. I think Bradley Beal is going to have a good series just because he's a tough guy to stop regardless. But I don't think it's really going to help them at all. They just quite simply do not have anybody that matches up with Embiid. We're going to say that about most of the teams the Sixers are going to run into this year. And I think his presence offensively and defensively is going to be enough to carry the Sixers to just dominate them. Maybe there's one game that's close, but I think I have the Sixers in four. I think it'll be a clean sweep. And, the only thing that concerns me about the Wizards is that they do have stars. And, you know, they have stars Russ at least. I don't know. Beal doesn't have the most extensive playoff experience, but they have stars who have been in the playoffs before. They could get hot at some point and make a game or two closer than it needs to be. But I have 6-4. We put our socks on differently, I think, than the Wizards do.
Oh, man, Scott Brooks. I mean, is that like an expression, like a figure of speech? Do you know, does that come from anywhere?
I think the real way to say it, all right, wait, so what is the official quote? We should read the quote. You just said
it. Okay, the official quote, yeah, it's – so Scott Brooks on the Sixers, they put – this is from Fred Cass, The Athletic. They put their socks on one sock at a time just like us, unless they're doing something tricky putting two socks on, but I don't think so. Well, the sun comes up and the sun sets every night. I mean, that's
– When I first read this, I thought it was parody. I didn't think the first part of the quote is okay. But the part where he goes, unless they're doing something tricky, like putting two socks on, that's going to be your one-liner going into a playoff series where you're matched up against the one seed. I think the quote is the right way you're supposed to say it is they put their pants on one leg at a time. I'm pretty sure that's the quote. Like, that's a saying.
So it's okay. So he's trying to say that they're just another basketball team, just like us, right? That's exactly. All.
But you know, everybody knew what he was saying when he said it, but then he had to explain it. And it's kind of like when you say a joke that nobody thinks is funny, and then you go further into it and explain the joke. Not only did he get the saying wrong, but then he overanalyzed it too much. I thought that was hilarious. And I just couldn't believe that was actually real. But yeah, I mean, if you're a Wizards fan, that can't make you feel very confident.
And I guess another thing to reference there, Scott Brooks, the Wizards coach, former OKC Thunder coach, when Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant and James Harden were all there. If him or Doc Rivers have to make too many adjustments, especially if Doc Rivers has to do too much in this series, like if he has to make any crazy adjustments, the Sixers might be in for a long one. I expect Scott Brooks to make a lot of changes at some point. He's just going to have to, like, because Embiid's going to put a bunch of pressure on whoever the Wizards center is, at least for Aladdin. A lot of defensive adjustments, how does he guard Ben Simmons kind of thing. Basically, yeah, the coaching, I guess, would be a big bellwether too.
Yeah, I agree. You know, the Sixers are likely going to get out to a two-game lead, in my opinion. They play the first two games at Wells Fargo Center, correct? So, I mean, that's two wins right there. I mean, the Sixers just don't lose at home. He's going to be forced to make adjustments. He's going to be forced to shuffle the starting lineup around if he feels he has a better matchup with Embiid. Maybe they go Twin Towers at some point. They put Gafford out there with Robin Lopez or something and just make them both stand right behind Joel Embiid. Who knows? But they're going to have to adjust. But in my opinion, it's all going to be in vain. Sixers and four. I don't think there's any reason to believe it otherwise.
Sixers and five. I think Bradley Beal goes off at some point. That'd be my only reason for the Wizards winning the game.
Bradley Beal is an exciting player, so I understand giving him the benefit of the doubt. Well, that is going to do it for us for our Sixers-Wizards series preview. Like we said, the series kicks off this Sunday at 1 p.m. I'll actually not be watching. Unfortunately, I have work, but don't tell anybody that. I'm hoping to come back after work to my Twitter timeline, and it's all good vibes. But who knows? I mean, we've been Sixers fans for a while, so we know that's not always the case. But thank you guys for listening. We'll probably do an analysis of the first two games some point next week. And then, you know, once the Sixers get their clean sweep, we'll be previewing the next series, whoever that is. Maybe the Knicks. Maybe who would it be between either the Knicks or who?
Knicks or Hawks.
Knicks or Hawks. So, I'm looking forward to doing those previews. I think whoever it's going to be, I think it's going to be fun. But that is going to do it for us. Download Viget. Use promo code Philly when you sign up. And Alec, take us into the playoffs with something wise from your head.
The process worked. Like, absolutely, there is no argument against it. If you want to present an argument, please DM me or Kenny, and we can work it out, and we can have you on air, or I can just, you know, have some sort of discussion with you. I'd love to have it if you're still so bitter about such a mildly progressive rebuilding plan.
Yeah, I'd be upset, too, if I didn't get to watch Joel and Ben Simmons as well. That's going to do it for us. Go Sixers. Hashtag here they come. And we will talk to you guys next week with the Sixers up 2-0.